Wow, I've looked it over the other day, about 10,000 outlines. That's just sermons I preach. And I don't want to be like an evangelist. You know, I'm a pastor, so I don't have my sermons memorized. You get an evangelist, he's got 10 sermons, he don't even look at his notes. But I don't do that because I don't want to give you something that I have memorized unless God leads it that way. I've got a few. But this truth right here is a special that God has given to me, and I've not preached it but about 3 times. In fact, I can tell you, I preached it in 08 at Startown Missionary Baptist Church in, I think it's Newton, North Carolina, such a place, near Hickory. Remember that church over there? Then Spring Creek Baptist Church, November the 10th, 2013. That's twice. And then, of course, the church that I pastor. So I don't just pick up something I've got memorized. I got something for you. And I have to get permission from the Lord to bring it to you. So in John chapter 4, you'll see what I'm talking about. Father, help us tonight. I don't want to waste these people's time. They come back tonight. And I pray right now that you'll take the message and may it change every man and every woman in this room tonight. May they see a truth here, maybe in a way that they've never seen before. And I pray, Father, that there'll be some nuggets that'll come out of this for these fine folks that's come back tonight. So bless the message. Be with Brother Craig, Father. Continue to use him in a mighty way. Be with his dad for these pains that he's going through. Thank you for protecting him today. But we ask you, Father, to take complete control tonight of this message, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now watch this. John chapter 4, and we're going to start reading from verse 21. And Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship, you know not what. For we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, notice this now, when the true worshipers, that's significant, the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Number one, you can't worship God till you get saved. Amen. You know that? Folks say, I'm worshiping God, never been born again. You can't do it. Amen. Jesus said the same must. In John chapter 3 and verse 3, you must be born again. And verse 5, he says you must be born of water and of the Spirit, or you'll not see the kingdom of God. The Bible says that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must, notice that now, same must do it. Must worship him in spirit and in truth. Number one, the Spirit. A person can't get saved until they get the Spirit, the Holy Ghost of God. So for a person to be able to worship God, number one, they've got to have the Holy Ghost in them. Amen. And the day you got saved, God put his Holy Ghost inside of your body. Romans chapter 8 and verse 9. So that's the first qualification. So a person must be saved before they can worship God. But the second thing, they must worship God in spirit, number two, and in truth. Amen. There's two things I want to look at with this truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So they got to have Jesus Christ in their heart in order to worship God. But also the Bible says in John 17 and verse 17, Jesus said, thy word is truth. Yeah. So they've got to have instruction or preaching from the Word of God before they could ever be saved. They may say, I'm a church member. That's not going to get it. They say, maybe I've been baptized. That's not going to get a person saved. They may say, I've turned over a new leaf. That's not going to get a person saved. They say, well, I do wonderful things. That's not going to get a person saved. The Bible says you must be born again. And they that worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Now, there are some things, Brother Craig, that is called worship that's not worship. For example, singings. Yeah. Well, preacher, we went to a singing. We worship God. No, no, no. You went to a singing.
That's right.
That's not worship. But a lot of times folks will call that worship, but it's not worship.
Amen.
Some people say, well, I believe fellowships are worship. Well, we have fellowship today. We were worshiping God. I want you to know that fellowships, some people say that's worship, is not worship.
Amen.
I've had people say, well, we had a cottage prayer meeting. We all got together and prayed. Wonderful.
Amen.
But cottage prayer meetings is not worships. Now, let me show you something in this introduction. In Psalms chapter 119, there must be understanding before a person can worship God. The Bible says in Psalms 119 and verse 130, you might jot these scriptures down if I go too fast. But the Bible says, the entrance of thy words, here it is, giveth light. So the word of God gives light, but notice this, it giveth understanding unto the simple. Now I consider myself simple. And you are too. It gives understanding unto the simple. So, number one, it's direct. Before a person can worship God, there must be direct understanding that comes from this book. It's through the book. Secondly, it's definite. God always tells you how and where to worship Him. There's no shadiness. I'm going to show you that in the scripture. And thirdly, it's demanding. You find this in Genesis chapter 22, and you can be turning your Bible to Genesis chapter 22. But here in Genesis chapter 2, you'll find out that God is direct, God is definite, and God is demanding when it comes to worship God. Jesus says it'll be a time that the true worshipers. How we need in our Baptist churches some true worshipers of God. And once that truth is received into the heart of folks that are born again, you will worship God in a way that you've never worshipped Him before. It's direct through the book. It's definite through the book. God will tell you. And then it's demanding, and God shows you how to do it. Now look with me in Genesis chapter 22. Is everybody there? This is what we call a preach, teach message, but this I hope will change your life. Let's see where it's demanding. Look at verse 1. Remember the story of Abraham and his son Isaac. And it came to pass in verse 1, after these things, that God did tempt Abraham. You know, a lot of folks say, well, that's a contradiction in the Bible, that James said God will not tempt a man with evil. Of course, he'll try a man, but this temptation here is not a contradiction. God does not tempt a person to do evil. God tempts a man to do good. It's a testing type of temptation, but that's not in the message. All right, notice here, he says, God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, here's the instructions, here's the demanding, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering. Clave means he cut it. And rose up and went up unto the place, notice now, of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder, and watch it now, worship, and come again to you. It's demanding. God said, I want you to take your son. Now that's interesting. Because Isaac was the promised child. Isaac was Abraham's, watch it now, little darling. He was special to him. He was precious to him. He was the most precious thing that God gave to him. And I want you to know, before you and I can really get down to some true worshiping of the Heavenly Father, we've got to sometimes, and to be able to worship God, we must realize that God expects the best thing that you have. Did you hear me? Don't miss this now. Don't let your mind wander tonight. Don't think about anything else. Think about this. God expects the best thing that you have. What is your little darling? What is that one thing that you say, I'm not going to give up? It's your special thing in your life. In Abraham's life, it was not his land. It was not his money. It was not his expensive home. It was not his Ford. Amen? I think about Ford. I hear so much about F-O-R-D, what it means. You've heard it all. Found on road dead. Or fix or repair daily. You've heard that one. A preacher told me one time, though, somebody's come up with the words backwards. Instead of F-O-R-D, D-R-O-D, driver returning on foot. You ever hear that one before? Anyway, I don't know. But Isaac, don't miss this now, was the little darling of his life. What is your Isaac? What is your little darling? Is it your boat? Hang on now. Is it your gun? What is that one thing that's precious to you? That little darling in your life. That little Isaac that you own. That'll get in the way of you being able to worship your God. Is it your camper? Is it your job? The job that you put first. You do that, you can't worship God. Hang on now, church. You say, I'm not going to like this. Sit down and listen. You need what I'm going to preach tonight. This will change your life if you get this truth. What's your little Isaac? What's that little something special? Is it your hobby? Is it your goals? Is it sports? I mean, I have people sometimes... I pastor in Slidell. We're going to see the Saints play. We won't come to church. I thought one time, maybe I ought to have the song leader, one of my deacons, ought to stand up and say, Brother Paul's not preaching this morning. He's going to see the Saints play. You talk about a fit. Oh, look at our pastor. He's doing something like that. How come there's the same, not a same standard for church members? Amen. Well, I'm not going to preach today. I'm going hunting. I like wild turkey hunting. I'm going. Y'all just work it out of the church any way you want to. Just have your own service. Let me tell you something. A pastor did that. I mean, Baptists want to call a church meeting and vote them out. Maybe we ought to have a church meeting and vote church members out to do that. Amen? You don't have to put any extra offering for me for that. All right? Amen? I'm going to have me a good time tonight. But I ask you tonight, what is that one thing, that little darling, that little special thing, that Isaac, that's keeping you from worshiping your God like you should worship Him? You see, if you're not willing, hang on now, if you are not willing to give it to God, you can't worship. And Isaac was the most precious gift. The most precious thing to Abraham. But yet Abraham was following instruction. Now let's continue. So number two, what is your little darling? Number three, look at verse two. Notice that, again how demanding it is. God said in verse two, to take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac. Abraham did not question God. We want to argue with God. Why do you want me to do this for, Lord? Why would you want me to give this up? Well, this is precious to me. You mean I have to consider giving this up to worship God? Or if God tells you to go someplace and witness to somebody, I don't want to do that. They'll laugh at me. I want you to know that when a person really wants to worship God, Abraham did not question God. We want to argue with God. Who are you and I to argue with God? We're dirt. We're filth. We ought to go to hell. We don't deserve to go to heaven. But I thank God He saved us. But again, at the same time, you and I have no right to argue with God. Y'all with me so far? All right. Notice the third thing here, the fourth thing, but it's in verse 3. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. The next thing, don't procrastinate. When God wants you and I to worship Him, don't put it off. Now notice right here that Abraham got up early in the morning. We don't want to get up early in the morning. It's a good thing you don't have church at 8 o'clock. That's too early for most Baptists. 9 o'clock is still too early. I got to admit, I'm glad it's not that early either. But I'm trying to say that here, Abraham got up early in the morning. And you say, well, when God tells me to do something, I don't procrastinate. I say yes, but you don't do it. You see, that's what we do. We make an agreement with God, then we don't do it. You make a promise to God, I'm going to start being faithful to the house of God every time the church doors are open. If you answer this prayer for me, God answers the prayer for you, but you don't do it. It's a dangerous thing to make a promise to God anyway. But again, there was no procrastination with Abraham, but we want to argue with God. We don't want to get up early in the morning. We want to do it in the afternoon. If God tells you and I to get up early in the morning to do something to Him, we ought to do it. But we have a rebellious spirit. God calls you to preach, and you say, I ain't going to do it. I've had a lot of folks tell me that God called me to preach about 10 years ago, but they decided they want to make money. You're not going to make money preaching unless you're a compromiser. Amen. I mean, I guarantee that some churches wouldn't have me preach in their pulpit because, you know, I might have stir up the flock a little bit. Amen. But I'm trying to say the churches I go through across this country and preach revivals, if they have 150, that's a big church. Yeah. But not 400 or 500, amen? But I'm saying the Bible shows us here that Abraham did not procrastinate. But look again at verse 3. He rose up early in the morning. He saddled his ass. He took two of the young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for a burnt offering and rose up and went up. Notice this now, unto the place, here it is, which God had told him. God always has a place. God always has a place for you and I to come together to worship Him, which God had told him. There's nothing foggy about it. Let me tell you something. One of the places God has for us to worship Him, and it's not always at the church. Sometimes He's got another place where you're alone, but I want you to know something. Every time you come through those doors, He's got a place for you to worship Him. Amen. And you come to the house of God, you know, that's why they call it morning worship. Amen. And I want you to know a lot of folks there don't listen to the fact that God always has a place. Right. And I like this in verse 4. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes. Now notice this. And saw the place afar off. Abraham saw the place that God had for him to worship God. All right. Number 6, look at verse 5. I'm leading to something now. Don't let your mind wander. This is one of those sermons you got to grab it and not think about what you got to do at home. And Abraham said unto the young man, watch this now, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder, here it is now, and worship and come again to you. Number six, a person must separate themselves from the world. That's right. You notice here, the young man wanted to go. And he says, no. Abide ye here with the ass or the mule, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship God. There can't be anything between you and God. You must separate yourself from the world or from that which hinders you if you want to worship God. Isaac was the only potential thing that could keep Abraham from worshiping God. Like I said, it was not his land, not his ford, nothing like that. Not sports or anything like that. So what did Abraham do? Let's look here in verse 6 through 10. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And notice this again. And they came to the place, all God always has a place, which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac, his son, that had to hurt Abraham, and laid upon him the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. There's a lot of nuggets right here. What did Abraham do? He pulled a knife on his son. Now hang on now. Listen closely. His little darling. Let me ask you again. What's between you and God? Would you be willing to draw a knife on it? Hang on now, church. Would you be willing to do that? Would you be willing to pull a knife on that special thing, your little Isaac? First of all, people need ought to pull the knife on themselves. It's my life, preacher. I'll do what I want to do. Ain't nobody tell me how to live. Brother Craig, you don't preach to me. My life. You need to draw a knife on yourself. Because you're the problem. God wants you and I to draw, figuratively, I guess, spiritually speaking, a knife on whatever it is. Maybe it's me. Maybe it's you. Would you be willing to draw a knife on your gun? I got my gun. I got a 12 gauge. It's mine. I don't care what you preach. Let me tell you something. If that gun is getting in the way of you worshiping God, true worshiping God, you need to draw a knife on it. Maybe it's your camper. You're willing to draw a knife on that. Ain't going to do it, preacher. Okay. You forget worshiping God. The true worshipers have to give something. Maybe you need to draw that knife on your dog. I got a dog, I know. But I'm talking about if that's your Isaac. And you let it get in the way. Now, I'm not saying go home and draw your knife and kill your dog. But I'm saying, are you willing to give whatever it is? Would you be willing to draw a knife on? Maybe your cat? I've seen some women, some wives. They got a cat. They love that cat. That cat will sit on their lap and they'll munch that cat. Then their husband comes and puts his hand on around his wife. Get away from me. Amen. I just threw that in there. Let me see. Is there anything special for the preacher there? All right. I'm talking about drawing the knife. Are you willing to pull a knife? Maybe your TV set. Your HD TV set. I love my TV, preacher. And I want you to know, if that TV set keeps you from worshiping God, you need to be willing to pull a knife. It's your little darling. It's your little Isaac. Y'all with me so far? Y'all understand what I'm preaching? Something up. Maybe you need to draw your knife on your fishing pole. I didn't say there's anything wrong with fishing. I'm saying when it becomes your little darling. When it becomes your little Isaac. And you say, I'm not going to sacrifice this to be able to worship my God. I'm saved. I don't care whether I worship Him or not. And I'm going to tell you something here. You'll never be a true worshiper if you're not willing to pull a knife. Maybe some of you women in here need to draw a knife in your closet. You got them pair of hot pants in there. Amen. I ain't giving up my hot pants. Guys won't look at me. You see what I mean? I ain't going to do it. Some women say, you don't preach to me. You know? I mean, some women, their pants are so tight, if you put a quarter in the hip pocket, you can tell whether it's heads or tails. Amen. Let me give you an example. It's like getting a 50-pound pig and putting it in a 25-pound sack. Amen. I'm talking about maybe you need to draw a knife of what you got in your closet. And some of you men in here, don't go around with your shirt unbuttoned showing you two or three hairs. That ain't going to prove you're a macho. Amen. Maybe you need to draw a knife on your chest. Amen. That's not in my notes. Amen. Something else. Maybe you ought to draw a knife on that social drink. I ain't giving up my drink. Let me ask you something. Are you willing to pull a knife with that bear that you got in the icebox? Amen. You say, I ain't giving up my Miller High Light and you ain't going to worship God. If that's your darling. Oh, I tell you, a lot of Baptists tell me, certain time of the year, we have our little bear. And I want you to know, they might be saved, but they ain't worshiping God. If that's their darling. If that's their Isaac. Are you willing to pull the knife on that little darling? Maybe it's your boat. I don't know. Maybe it's your stinking pride. I ain't going to forgive her. I ain't going to forgive him. He hurt me 5 years ago, and I don't care what you preach, preacher. That's something that just eats on me, and I'm going to hang on to it, and you're never going to worship God. You ought to be willing to draw the knife on that little precious thing, that little Isaac, that little precious, close thing that you love. True Bible worship, number 8, always requires a sacrifice. And the first requirement is this: be willing to give up your little Isaac, or your little darling in your life. Now let's go on here. I'm moving along pretty good here. Look at verse 10. I like this. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his hand. Now right here, it was settled. He was willing, even if it took the life of his son, to give it to God. Now watch it now. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. I like this. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. Here it is now. Watch it, church. For now I know, God says, now I know that thou fearest God. Here it is, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, Isaac, the little precious thing in his life, thine only son from me. I'm not preaching you a lie tonight, church. This thing can change your life. I like this. God said, hold it. I'm glad you did. You proved to me you were willing to draw the knife on Isaac, that precious child that you love, that precious thing that has your life in your heart, everything. I just wanted to see. I like that because You say, "Preacher, what's God going to do?" I'll say this. If you're willing to give up your little Isaac, that precious thing in your life, God will say, "Hold it. Hold the knife. You can keep your gun. You can keep your boat. You can keep your camper. You're not putting that before me. You can keep your job. You're not putting that before me. You can keep that pistol that you have. It's not your Isaac. You're not putting it before me." See, God don't want to take those things that are all right, those things that are not sin from you. But God doesn't want it to become an Isaac, to where it becomes between you and Him. God wants you to keep that. Now, He's not going to let you keep your bear in your icebox. So. All right. That's amazing. So verse 13, let's look at where worship begins. True Bible worship. "And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up a burnt offering instead of his son." I like that. True Bible worship begins. There was a ram offered by God instead of his son. However, it wasn't, don't miss this now, it wasn't until Abraham took his eyes off of Isaac. Lifted it up, the Bible says. He lifted up his eyes, and what did he see? He saw the ram, which is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now watch it, what I'm going to tell you now. If you have a little Isaac in your life and it's gotten between you and God, it's going to obscure your view. Amen. Right. What is blocking you from seeing Jesus? Amen. You see, he couldn't see the ram, which is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he had his eyes on his son. And there's some of you got your eyes on your boat, your car, your job, your good life. I mean, things, maybe your family. I want you to know, you, whatever it is, you can't put it first. And as long as you got your eyes down here, "Oh, I don't want to give up my gun. I don't want to give up my boat." And you got your eyes on that, you're not looking up. And you've got to get your eyes off of Isaac to see that ram of the Lord Jesus Christ. And a lot of folks don't see Jesus because they got their eyes on that which is precious to them. Am I telling you the truth? Now watch it now. I believe that ram was always there. And I want you to know Jesus Christ is always there. But sometimes we can't see him, because we get so wrapped up in the things of this world. "Well, preacher, I've got to do this, and I've got to do this. Or I'm so involved in this, you know. Or you got this game or this sports. Or and I like sports, but it can't get between you and God, because it'll obscure your view. It'll get to where you can't see Jesus Christ." And what happens to Baptists? They find out, they go to church, they never get to worship God. They come to the house of God, they sing, they never worship God. They sit and give their offering, but they never worship God. They brag that maybe they're spiritual, but they're not spiritual. You're not spiritual until you're willing to give up your Isaac. And when you're willing to give up your Isaac, look, God will not have you take the best thing that you have, that you love, unless you make that thing your Isaac, or almost your little mini God. And God's not going to let you put something before him. If that's the case, he may take your boat. He may take your truck. He may take your fishing pole. Now, God doesn't want to do that. But if it becomes your little darling, if it is your little darling, and you can't take your eyes off of it, you'll never see Jesus until you look up and see, because he's always there. Amen. The Bible says in John chapter 4 and verse 24, "They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." Like I said, you got to be saved. Got that settled. I believe maybe everybody in here is saved. that someone else is not saved. Never worship God till he gets saved. But the second thing, you got to be willing to pull a knife on that special thing in your life, that little darling. If it's getting in the way and you got to prove to God, and I've got to prove to God that that which I love, that may not be bad. Going fishing is not bad. I mean, hunting is not bad. Unless it becomes your Isaac. And if you're not willing to put it first, you disqualify yourself from being a true worshiper of God. God wants us to surrender all. And you've got to be willing to do that. I'm not saying he'll take it, but he might. If you continue to let it be between him and you. The song says, I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. Are you willing to do that tonight? That's the message that God wanted for you tonight. And I hope it'll change your life. You say, preacher, I got some Isaacs in my life. Maybe you got one. You ought to come to the altar tonight. Be willing to slay it. I'm not saying God will take it from you. But he might. But more than likely he won't if it's something good. As long as it doesn't obscure your view of Jesus Christ. And if it's going to hinder you from being a true worshiper of God. Hey, you can be saved and not worship. You can come to church and not worship. You can do something in the church that's good and not worship. You can sing those hymns from your heart and not worship. You can be an usher and not worship. You can clean up the building and not worship. You can be a good person and not worship. You can pay your tithe and not worship. But everybody in here qualifies to worship God if they're willing to slay a knife on that little Isaac in your life. What is it? Every head bowed, every eye closed.